if anybody remembers what I spoke on last time, but I'm going to continue with that. And what I spoke on was reaching out, right? You know, getting out, having the heart of Christ. You know, the harvest is plentiful. You know, we can see that in the world right now. There are people seeking, and we have the truth. The harvest is plentiful, right? You know, being laborers for Christ, planting seeds, because those seeds can lead to salvation. You know, whether we actually lead them to salvation or not, planting those seeds are important, right? Because some plant, some water, but it's God who brings the harvest, right? So what's your role? What's my role in this? You know, we have, you know, Mark 16, we have the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when we go into the world and preach the gospel, the signs follow. But we got to step out of these walls. And I'm, you know, it's just been, you know, when I first came back to Christ and really started getting back, it was Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I have to know who the Holy Spirit is. I have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. I have to understand his power. I have to understand his role in my life. And that's still there, but the drumbeat now is get out, get out, get out, reach out, reach out. We have to be reaching out and bringing them from out there into here, because this is where we can disciple. This is where we can grow people and mature people, but out there is where we reach them, right? So we're going to continue down that road, and my hope is to express God's heart towards people and just what our role in this is, if you choose to accept it, I guess. You know, because we can hear and hear and hear and hear and hear, but there's a doing involved. You know, I heard the word my whole life, but I never did anything with it. And it never made an impact on my life. Once I started doing something with it, God can use that. God, no matter how imperfect I am, God can use a willing heart, right? But if I'm stubborn and sitting at home and saying, bless me, Lord, I'll be sitting there for a long, long time. And then I'll always wonder, how come I was never blessed? How come God didn't, you know, how come I never got anything? How come I see all these other people going out and doing things and, you know, being blessed of God? But the key word was they're going out and doing things. You know, we can be so critical of ourselves and others, but sometimes we just have to pause and look what others are doing. Whether you like it or not, it's conditional. I know we don't like to hear that word, but it's conditional. Even salvation, I have to choose salvation. There's a condition there. I have to choose it. And as we grow and mature, there's all sorts of other things. And I'm hoping to point some of those out here today. We have to know and we have to understand that the heart of God is for people. That's just what it is. Whether we like it or not, because I didn't like it. Thankfully, I'm growing into it. But I didn't like it because I didn't like people. So why would I want anything to do with this? Because this would like make me be involved with people. You know, but the heart of God is for people. And thankfully, he's changing me. And thankfully, he's doing a work in me. And he can do that same work in anybody else, but I had to open myself up. So Ezekiel, we're going to be jumping all over. I do have, for those of you who don't, have never heard me speak, there's a lot of scripture. I kind of have a main text most of the time, but my goal is so you know that it's everywhere. I love to cross-reference to show people, because that's what really helped me. I would read in one spot, but then they would point out 20 other spots where it is, and it's like, oh, that helped it make sense for me. So that's just kind of what I've adopted into my speaking here, but We're going to start Ezekiel 33:11. It says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the deaths of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" That's God's heart. He's pleading, turn, turn. I have something for you. But who does he use? He uses us, exactly. But he's pleading. The Holy Spirit is knocking on doors. Turn, turn. You know, it's not this little passive thing. Turn, turn, turn from your evil ways. No. The message is lost then, right? He created us. You don't think he's invested in us? Right? He created us. He's pleading, turn, because I have so much better for you. He's pleading. But he uses us to express that better. He uses us to express his light. He uses us to show his goodness and love and mercy. 2 Peter 3:9, I read this a lot, but it matters. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. He is patient. He is patient. He will be knocking until the very last second. Because no one will go before him and say, I didn't have a chance. I didn't have an opportunity. No. That's not true. Because he is going to be knocking on that door until the very last second. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These two verses alone. God desires people because we are his creation. You don't think a maker who intricately wove you, who made you unique. There is not one person in this world who has lived and who will ever live that is exactly the same. You don't think he's invested in seeing you succeed? You don't think he's invested in wanting to bless you and wanting your life to be the best that he has for you? We see here he's patient. He's patient. He's patient. He's always there waiting, waiting, waiting. But sometimes it involves me speaking out and saying, Jesus could help you. You know? Because he's knocking on that door and they can feel something. And like, why am I feeling this way? There's got to be something more. What's going on? And then I see them and the Holy Spirit rises up inside of me and says, tell them about me. What do I do with it? Right? Do we spend our time helping those that we want to help or helping those that we are called to help? There's people that I would much rather help because they're easier to help. They're not as messed up, you know? You know, a few times together and we could probably really straighten some things out. And then there's the people I know I'm called to help who irritate me, who rub me the wrong way, who don't believe the same way I do, who smell, who whatever. Throw it in there because we can really close ourselves off to people for some really ridiculous reasons. And it's kind of sad. But you know, we are called. So think about that. I'm going to maybe get to our main passage here. Think about that when we read, are we helping those that we just, it's easy to help? Or are we helping those that we're called to help? So Matthew 25, I'm going to start in 33. So this is Jesus telling about judgment, about he's sitting on the throne, he's gathered all to him. We have the sheep and the goats. I think we're mostly, most of us here would probably be familiar with this. And I know this is a future time, but look in this text and look for the heart of God here. So verse 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what the state of their life is. They are brethren. I didn't say it. He said it. And what we do to others, we do to him. That's a pretty... So here's how I know the Lord spoke this to me, because I don't want to do a lot of it. Or I'm growing into a lot of it. You know, like, this is how I know, like, when God speaks to me, because it's causing me to step out, and it's causing me to grow, and it's causing me, you know, I love evangelists. I love them, because they do something that I don't. They're really good at something. They're really good at just going up to complete strangers and sharing, and that's just, I'm not there yet. I'm just, you know. But hey, evangelists, bring your people to me, and I'll help them along. That's this relationship we can and should be developing with each other. We can and should be developing within our church, you know. Evangelists go out, okay, you get them saved, but then what? We got to have somewhere to bring them. We got to have somewhere where they can grow, and that's what the church is for. The church is for growth. The church is for growth out there. And yes, on occasion we'll get somebody who walks in and needs Christ. But I truly believe it's out there that we're reaching these people and then bringing them into here. Growing from the outside in. So, the poor, the destitute, the prisoners, the sick, all the people that we can thumb our nose at, God desires them. They are not outcasts. They are not lowlifes. They are creations of the Almighty God. They are desired and to be sought after. If we want to experience meaning in our life, get somebody saved. Disciple them. Watch them grow. Watch them come out of the hell that they were in into life and light. You don't think you're going to get some meaning out of that? Helping people. How good does it feel to see a need and help somebody? To me, it's fantastic. And if it feels good to us, imagine what's happening up there. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Rejoicing that someone new has come into the fold. Rejoicing that somebody chose life instead of death. And he uses us to do it. That's awesome and that's amazing. He uses us to accomplish this. He uses his people to accomplish this. It's awesome. So if he uses you, don't push away the ability. Because if he can use you, he's given you the abilities. Yes, we need to grow in abilities, and there's constant growth going, but if he's called you, it's there. It's there. It's there. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit residing inside of us in direct connection with Jesus Christ, in direct connection with God Almighty. What do you need for that situation? It's yours. What do you think the gifts of the Spirit are for? Right? The gifts of the Spirit are to show people out there, oh my gosh, how did you know that? Oh my gosh, did you just see what happened to that man's hand? Did you just see that person get up? How did you know that about me? This is how we get people's attention. And it's inside each and every one of us. Gets me fired up. Because I see things. I see things. I see hands stretched out and whole. I see it. It's just so cool. And I'm going to see it in this life. I'm going to see it in this life. I'm going to see people get up and walk. I'm going to see people be redeemed from the curse of sin and death. I'm going to see people set free and loosed from a captive, from being captives. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. But I bet you it's going to happen out there more than it's going to happen in here. And that's where I got to get over myself. That's where I got to get over myself. I have to go out there. I have to. And as we grow in relationship with him, and as I'm growing in relationship with him, my heart is becoming his heart. Because I can see all these people on TV and in the news that not that long ago would have really irritated me, really ticked me off. But now I can just see how lost they are. Now I just see, you need Christ. Imagine what an identity in Jesus Christ would do for people. You know? Because whether you're over this cliff or over this cliff, you still went over a cliff. Right? And it doesn't matter how far away they are. Jesus Christ can change people's lives. He just can. He changed mine. Pretty sure he's changed everybody in this room. I'm pretty sure we can all give examples of people that we just never thought would come to Christ, but did. Because it's not up to us. All we have to do is our job. All we have to do is plant that seed. Ezekiel, I got a lot of Ezekiel verses this week. I like it. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of flesh and give you a heart, a new heart of flesh. Right? He's the one that changes our hearts. He's the one. There was nothing I could do in myself that changed me. My change came when I let him change me. And then Ezekiel 11:19 says, then I will give them one heart. I like that. I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within them and take out the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. One heart. What's the one heart? The one heart is singular purpose of reaching the lost, of advancing the kingdom. Because that's his heart, is the lost. He came to save the lost. And we're content, and then our job is just to continue on that path to save the lost. And then when we save the lost, what do we do with them? We grow them up. And then when we grow them up, we send them out. And it just keeps going and going and going and going and going, and it's awesome. But unfortunately, baby Christians can't go run churches. They just can't. We have to mature people. I had to be usable. You know, I had this change in my life, And I wanted to get going, but there was nothing in me that was usable. And it's no different for anybody else. If you have a plan and you have a vision and a purpose for your life and you see it, but you don't know how to get there, start making yourself usable. Start believing what the word says and do it. Start getting some good teaching and actually listening to it, applying it to your life. You know, this is the challenge. How bad do we want this? I want this because it's changed me and it's going to continue to change me. I want this. I want this more than anything else. And I don't know your hearts, but God can change your heart to that, to where you just desire Him more than anything else. Because really, what does this world have to offer? Anybody? What does Facebook truly have to offer? The worst is right.
Anger.
Frustration, to say it mildly. You know, I get it. We can reach out to people and everything else. But how, if I had to guess, the average person is scrolling through and reading all the dumb comments as opposed to ministering on Facebook. If I had to guess. I get it. There's people out there that are doing it. But overall, the grand picture. I truly believe the more we seek Him, the more we will seek others. Because His heart becomes my heart. And then all of a sudden I look at people and I just say, man, you need Jesus. How do I get you Jesus? You know? But we have to seek Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. And it's funny because we think all these things will be the things I wanted. But when my heart is changed to His heart, it's just what He wants. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you want. It's not just about hearing the gospel. It's about living the gospel. Right? I heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and heard the word, but it didn't do anything in my life until I started doing something with it. And I know, you know, a lot of people can go down that, well, now you're just into the works camp there, Reverend. No. No, it's not works. It's just an expression of who He is. If I lock up all the goodness of God inside of me, I mean, I'm sinning to an extent, right? I mean, the goodness of God that's inside of me is meant to be shared. The goodness of God that's inside of me is meant to bring people to Him. So if I lock it up and think I'm just going to keep it for myself and I'm going to be fine and I'm going to sit in this room and sit on this chair and just wait it out. I mean, you can do that. But you're missing true purpose. You're missing the Great Commission. You're missing everything about who Jesus truly was. We model ourselves after Him, do we not? So why would we think we could just sit and do nothing? Why did I think I could just sit and do nothing and expect things to change and expect things to get better and expect things to get different? Because I was believing a lie. The truth was way out of the picture. I replaced the truth for a lie. Instead of aligning myself with the truth, I believed everything else that was being told to me, that I'm worthless. That everything you do, you mess it up. Your life is just going to be tragic. That's literally what I heard in my head. Your life is going to end in tragedy. And I lived with that for years and years and years and years. my life is going to end in victory. Because I know who I am. Yep. He should have killed me. Because he's in trouble. Because I have a purpose. I now have a purpose. I now have a plan for my life. I can see now who Jesus Christ is and what he did for me, and watch out. Watch out. I love it. Proverbs 14:31. So he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. So he who oppresses the poor reproaches, reproach, to taunt, blaspheme, defy, jeopardize, rail, upbraid. We're taunting God by not helping. It's interesting. You know, and I doubt we often think that way. You know, I didn't see anything. And just keep going, right? Our heart has to be for people because that's what his heart is. And I get this is a process. I get this. But we have to know his heart, because if we don't know his heart, how can we seek his heart? Right? I have to know who he is to seek him and who he is. And as I seek him, he reveals even more about who he is. 1 John 3:17-19. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. And verse 19, I love, and by this, by what? By loving in deed and in truth. We know that we are of the truth and assure our hearts before him. I can have peace in my heart because I know I'm doing what he's called me to do. Whenever we get off in this road of what am I supposed to be doing? What is the point of this? Where am I going with this? What's happening? How come nothing's ever lining up? Well, is what you're doing lining up with the word? You know, these are the challenges. Are our actions lining up with the word? Because when I walk in truth and when I share the truth, the deeds with others, I can rest assured that I'm walking out the will of God. And it takes many different shapes. It takes many different forms. There's many different levels to it. But sometimes just a hello, a smile, especially nowadays when we can't smile at each other. We got to look down at the ground so we don't accidentally look at you and give you COVID or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, let's not be silly. I can walk through this life no matter what's going on around me and smile and say, Jesus loves you. I don't know if you can post this one. I said the C word. But okay. By living the gospel, our hearts will be at peace. How many people are searching for peace? The whole world is searching for peace right now. A peace that they'll never find unless we tell them the truth. So, back to Matthew 25:40. It says, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. My brethren. He sees them as family. Right? They may be outside the covenant. They may be outside the family, but he still sees them as brethren because he desires them because they're his creation, right? What parent looks at a child that's struggling and that's making wrong choices and just doesn't desire to help, doesn't desire to step in, doesn't desire to show them truth and help them go down the right way, bring them back? It's no different. He's our example, right? If he's doing it for these people, shouldn't we? And that's where I've really had to soften my heart of looking at people and not just saying, oh, you put yourself there. Get out of it. Because we have zero idea how they got there. Who are we? Well, they probably just waste their money all the time and don't have a good financial savings and don't have a good budget and just waste their money all the time. And you have zero idea how they got there. What if they've been abused their whole life and they see themselves as worthless and dirt and just have zero idea where they're supposed to go, zero direction for their life, don't care what happens to their life because they probably just want to die anyways. And we're going to sit there and judge them and pretend like we know what they're going through? My brethren, do we look at people as brethren? Or do we look at people where I'm part of this class over here, and you people, you're in your own category over here, you just keep with your category, and you know, I'm going to deal with all the people I know and, you know, want to help. You guys, good luck. You know, do we judge? Do we mock? Ignore? Because I've been there. Because when I didn't like people, who cares? I don't care what happens to you. Because I didn't care what happened to myself. You know, until it was the love of Christ that changed me, how can I love anybody? I don't love myself. I don't even care if I'm here. And all throughout my time in the military, it was just this prominent mentality. Who cares? Who cares what I do? Because nobody knows the truth. Nobody has any idea what their plan and purpose for their life is, so who cares? I'll drink till I'll pass out, and then I'll get up and do it again, and hopefully I wake up. I don't know. Who cares? Hell? I don't know. From what I hear, hell's just a party. I mean, this was the mentality. I'll do whatever the heck I want. And you're not going to tell me otherwise. And the funny thing is, I held on for a while. I was different. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't curse. I didn't do all those things. And then slowly but surely, it chipped away, and it got me. And I'll never forget this. A good friend of mine, we were just doing what we did, drinking and being jerks and whatever else. And he looked at me, dead face, thought you were different. So even when I didn't think I was making a difference, because that's what started creeping in my heart. You're not doing anything here anyways, so what's the point of trying to continue this? So eventually, I just slowly stopped. You know, it wasn't like this overnight thing where I just turned into this maniac and, you know. But it was just a slow chipping away. You're not making a difference. You're not making a difference. You're not making a difference. And then finally I stopped making a difference. But it was noticed when I stopped. You just don't know what difference you're making. And that's why we have to keep walking this. Because I could have made a choice right there. You know what? I am different. I could have put down that beer can. I could have put out that cigarette. And I could have just walked away. Said, you know what, Lord, I apologize. I had no idea. And I could have repented and started going down that path, but instead I just dove in head first. Because I believed the lie that I was making no difference. Proverbs 14:5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. I'm trying to get the point across that God desires people. No matter what. No matter what they've done. Do you know, and I don't know, maybe he did, what if Hitler truly repented? What if? I can't say. But God, that's not fair. Well, it's not fair for you because you're a sinner. It's not fair for anybody. This is not about fair. This is about Christ and what he did for us. I really think we're going to be pretty surprised by some of the people we see in heaven. Really true. And some of the people we won't see in heaven. You know? Because it's not about what I've done, what I'm doing. If there's a genuine God, I'm sorry. I believe you came. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again for my sins. I believe I'm saved. Right? We just don't know. So how can we ever look at somebody and say, sorry, dude. That's why I have such a problem with Calvinism. Because the thing they miss is foresight. God knows, you don't. So who are you to sell somebody that they're not chosen? Yes, God knows all, and he knows all who are going to choose him. But what if I told you, you're not chosen? And I just shut that off. You're not God. It just irks me to the bone, and I'm sure they have much deeper theology about it and everything else. You're not God. You do not know the future. You do not know who is going to choose and who is not going to choose. So why would I not give everybody I come in contact the opportunity to choose? Who am I? Because I do not want to stand before him someday. God, look at all the people I deterred from believing in you. Do you want to have that conversation? Nope. I mean, I do think about that sometimes. Standing before God and being like, they weren't chosen. What do you want me to do? I mean, how do I show somebody your love who's not chosen? Just, okay. So, take a drink before I get into this one. So I know there's some challenges here. And they're not going to stop. Because there's a few of these that I didn't want to write down. But I do what I'm told. Do we substitute grace for obedience? Because I heard this flash in my head. And I started thinking about all the times where I heard God tell me to do something. And I was like, maybe next time. Grace. Thank you, God, for your grace. Grace is not a substitute for obedience. Thankfully, we have grace. Thankfully, when I do miss it, I can walk down that road. But our lives should be developing and growing to a point where I don't have to always go back to it. I have it, and thank God I have it, but I'd rather just walk in obedience, right? Instead of missing it and repenting, missing it and repenting, missing it and repenting. How about I just do what he asks me to do, and then I can enjoy the blessings that come from it? You know, but that was an eye-opening for me. Do we substitute grace for obedience? Far more benefits come from obedience. Yes, I'm not going to hell because of grace. but I'm not experiencing the fullness of God if I'm constantly disobedient. Because it doesn't matter. I'm a Christian. But if I don't do what he asks me to do, is that not sin? You know? And I'm the first to, I gave you, the last time I gave you the big testimony about how I missed it. I did some of it, but I didn't complete it. And I did go back, but she wasn't there. So we're going to try again here, but we're different. We're different. We answer to him. We answer to him. And I can tell you from scripture, from my own life, that being obedient is beneficial. My children, when they're obedient, it's beneficial for them. Very beneficial. Yes. You know what I mean? And it's no different with him. You know, I hear you, Lord, but I know I should have done that, but stop throwing the butts in there and just do it. And, you know, yes, I get the whole, I got to talk to somebody. But guess what? When I just start doing it, it doesn't have to be perfect to be pleasing. Even if I get nervous and my voice shakes when I'm trying to tell them something, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just be obedient. Because none of us will ever be perfect. None of us. In this life, anyways. It's not about perfection. I love the saying, God has never had anyone qualified ever working for him. But yet he still uses us, right? It's not about perfection. It's just about being obedient in these situations. Being obedient, hey, you know, go give them $5. Yep, I don't care if they're going to use it for booze. Just go give them $5. Right? I mean, there's some wisdom involved here, right? There's some wisdom involved here. But if God's leading you to do it, because maybe that $5 and, hey, man, can I pray for you? Hey, man, Jesus loves you. Seed. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost starts knocking at him. He loves you. He did. He does. He loves you. Remember when you used to go? Because you don't know these people. Maybe this dude grew up in the church. You don't know. And then one simple word, just, oh, man. You know, here we go. Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to God, and he will pay back what was given. That's pretty cool. You're not losing anything. You're gaining. Because God always goes above and beyond. He's a God of multiplication. You know, I love that verse. He who has pity on the poor lends to God, and he will pay back what was given. You're not missing out on anything because it's not yours to begin with. But he's going to take what you've given, multiply it, so we can give more. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's what this money is for. That's what sharing and helping others is all about. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. All these things, right? Be merciful. And your heart will be at peace. Right? It goes back to the earlier verse that we read. James 1:25. But he who looks on the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. This isn't works. This is just an expression of what God is to you. This is an expression of what's building up inside of you. I can't contain it. I have to give it away. Because I'll blow up. Right? Because he's that good and he loves people that much. And you will never run dry when you're being obedient. Typically, when we run dry is when we're stepping out into our own thing. Right? I think I should be doing this, and I really think that's a good thing, and I'm going to pour all my effort into that, but it wasn't what God asked you to do. Good intentions are not a call. Good intentions are not purpose. Because where God tells you to go is where the blessing is. That's where the blessing is. And if we all just listened and did what was being asked, those areas would be covered. Right? Because I would know what I'm supposed to be doing. And maybe Deb, you were the one that's supposed to be over there. Right? And Deb's going to receive the blessing because she did. I'm not going to waste my time and energy and get wore down because I'm going to be going to where I'm supposed to be going. Right? It's not my job to do everything. You know, it's funny. As soon as you become a pastor, man, you're supposed to know everything, be able to do everything, have every answer.
Amen.
I was waiting for it. But what if I trained you up, gave you, helped you see the vision that he has for you, and then you mature and run with it? A lot more can be accomplished that way. You know, I look at the rich young ruler talking face to face with Jesus. Sell all you got and follow me. He was a wealthy dude. But imagine if he was obedient. Because I can't fathom what God has for me. Because what he's already done for me is more than I ever hoped or expected. So imagine this young guy. Maybe we're reading some books of the Bible because this guy got it. This guy was called, but he chose wealth over obedience. You know what I mean? Like, obedience to God is beneficial. You will never receive a better benefit because nobody can outdo God. Nobody. Not, I don't care how much money you have, because a lot of times, oh, I got all this money, but I'm dead inside. Guess what? He can fill you on the inside and also provide for the outside. Money cannot do that. Money is a tool. It's not to be hated because we need it. But we need to use it wisely. We need to use it and put it towards the things that God's asking us to do. But I guarantee obedience will not be outdone. Nobody can outdo God. Nobody. And the best thing about this is it's all on the inside of us. We have it already. Here comes the fluff. We can do it.
That's right.
We can do it. We can. You can. I can. But it comes from making a choice, right? It just comes from making a choice, and that's all. It's that simple, yet that hard. You know? But we can do it. So in closing, seek his heart. Seek first. Seek first. Not your ideas, not your plans. Seek first. And then you will start looking. You will start looking at others through the eyes of Christ. You will. Because it's a byproduct of relationship. Right? You won't be able to help yourself. And when you do start seeing people through the eyes of Christ, just be obedient. Be obedient. And watch the change that happens in your life. It's going to be awesome. All right, we'll close in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are so good. Lord, no one can outdo you. And Father, we commit in our hearts right now to seek you first. Father, bring revelation. Because when we seek, we will find. When we knock, you will open the door. And Father, we seek revelation right now of who you are and what your heart is for people. Father, I speak forth boldness. Boldness to be obedient. We don't have to be perfect to please. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to be perfect to please, because you're already pleased with us. And Father, I just thank you as we go out through this week, you're just going to continue to bring opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share your goodness with somebody. Father, I thank you that you're stirring up in hearts right now to go out and reach. To go out and reach. And we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, Father. We thank you for this upcoming week. And I just speak safety and blessing over everyone here, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.